Welcome into a Bleed Tech Blue radio podcast, the podcast home of the authority on Louisiana Tech sports, BleedTechBlue.com.
Former Louisiana Tech pitcher Ben Carlisle joining me today. Of course, I am Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. A little baseball talk. The Bulldogs had a very successful season, a surprise to all. Ben, first off, your thoughts overall of the Bulldog baseball team?
I think coming into this season, a lot of us didn't know what to expect. 21 new guys brought in by Coach Goff and company. Picked to finish 11th out of 12th in Conference USA, get hot mid-April, make a run to a regional, truly remarkable season. And I think it's fair to say that Tech baseball is definitely back.
You know, and that's what something my column, the night of the Mississippi State, the regional championship game, which is funny to say for Louisiana Tech baseball, that first time since the 60s that Louisiana Tech baseball is in a regional championship, and the first time since 87 they're in a regional. And this team, like you said, 11th, picked 11th out of 12th in Conference USA by the coaches. Went 42 games overall, 42-20. You look at what they did over the last since April. Let's call it really at Western Kentucky, and that's what Coach Goff said was a turnaround. They lose 6-3 in game one at Western Kentucky, then they win the final two games, which on the road is a tough task. Then they go on the road to McNeese, which is not a bad club, lose 3-1. Lose the first one at home to FIU, which was a little bit of a head scratcher, but that redeemed themselves and beat the Panthers 6-1 and 5-0. Well, I guess FIU did in the final weekend beat Southern Miss. They swept them, so that maybe that Panther squad is better than I'm giving them credit for. Then they have a rain delayed game against Northwestern State, which probably was a little bit of a blessing in disguise. Played Grambling on April 20th, you notice I'm not going to say, I wasn't going to say 420, but here I am saying 420 anyway. Then host Old Dominion in Ruston, sweep that series. McNeese in Ruston beat those guys 9-7, beat ULL again in Lafayette. And then it's on. They win the series at UTSA. They beat ULM at home 14-4, sweep Middle Tennessee at home, beat Northwestern State in Natchitoches, then beat them in Ruston the day after, the 10th and the May 10th and May 11th, and then host or go to Southern Miss, win the first one, lose the next two, number 16 Southern Miss, then they host number 16 Rice and sweep them, of course, in a game that will live on in infamy. On May 20th, the 15-inning marathon, 4-3, best game I've ever seen in J.C. Love Field and may ever see at J.C. Love Field. Then they go to the conference tournament and win three games, get beat, have to play Rice three times in 3 days, beat them once. Rice gets them the other two times. Rice, of course, falls in the conference tournament championship game. Then they got an at-large bid. But what they were able to do from April 9th, ironically enough, my birthday, on was nothing short of spectacular.
I think you look at game three of that Western Kentucky series, like Coach Goff likes to say, that was kind of the turning point in the season. That game three, Tyler Clancy comes out and is returned to the mound and is only able to give the Tech team three innings, and that's when the emergence of Casey Sutton really came to light. He was a kid that was 9 months off Tommy John at the time and ends up turning into the default ace of this staff and top 10 in the country in ERA. I think he just brought a steady presence to that rotation. And like you said, they just took it and ran with it. A bunch of guys who just believed in each other. And that was what was awesome to watch each night.
And, you know, this is kind of a good segue. You talk about the 21 juniors. Our 21 newcomers were juniors. Most of them were. I think they all may have been 21 juniors. You lose 10 seniors. And Tech signed 10 in the early period. But the commitments didn't stop. And in baseball, of course, there's that, Tech fans haven't been known for following baseball, so we'll do a little education session with the draft happening Saturday, right?
Draft starts Thursday.
Thursday, so tomorrow.
Thursday through Saturday.
Look at that. It's almost like we planned that thing. So today we're recording this on Wednesday evening. It'll be live later. So Thursday, likely the time you're listening to this, is the Major League Baseball draft. If Tech is signing over 10 players, obviously means Greg Goff expects several players to be drafted and no longer be Louisiana Tech Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think you can look at a number of guys on this team that have the potential to be drafted. Seniors-wise, obviously, you got Adam Atkins, who is arguably one of the top 5 to 10 closers in the country. With your underclassmen or juniors, you could look at Phil Deal. I think that Coach Goff expects him to be gone, but that'll to be determined. You look at a kid like Chandler Hall, a shortstop that really came into his own this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens to him. It'll be interesting to see what happens to a guy like Chase Lunsford. He's a kid that hit 11 home runs, 51 RBIs after he had 2 big years at Hines Community College out of Mississippi. And then I think you look at another kid like Braden Bristow. He was 91, 94, up to 97 in that regional final against Mississippi State. If I'm a scout, I mean, what's wrong with taking a flyer on a kid like that that can pump that kind of velo, and he's a great kid on top of that. So there's definitely a number of kids that could get drafted off this team.
And you look at who they've added since then. Colton Vermillion out of Normal, Illinois, a junior college pitcher. Coach even mentions that he could get drafted. Matt Miller out of Aurora, Illinois, he could get drafted. I think he's another pitcher. So that also may be why he's loading this class in. Those guys don't count in that early 10 that they signed in the early period, but if you're going to lose some guys that are committed, you better keep backloading them. And kind of the steal of the last few weeks is getting a local guy from Pineville, Keelan Johnson, a catcher from Pineville. A previous LSU commitment was going to be a walk-on, which is a normal thing in baseball with the 11.7 scholarships available. We'll get a little education there. Because of Title IX, softball does do full scholarships. Baseball, nobody ever gets a full scholarship in baseball. They have 11.7 scholarships to distribute amongst the entire roster. So, like places like LSU, you're getting a lot of academic guys that you say you're going to start, but because we've got 11.7 scholarships, you're going to have to keep your grades up and keep your academic scholarship, and that's going to be your scholarship. Now, Keelan Johnson was that kind of guy for LSU. Louisiana Tech came in and said, "Hey, look, I've got a room for a scholarship," and he's not counted in that 10 in the early period. So we're sitting at 13, but just on these three guys that we've talked about, who knows what happens beginning tomorrow?
Exactly. And I think you look at two kids like Miller and Vermillion, you know, two draftable right-handed arms out of Illinois, and you look at Johnson, I think he's the number 143rd ranked senior in the country. So those are three guys right there in this class that definitely have the potential to be drafted. And that just goes to show you what winning will do for a program. You start recruiting a different level of kids, and then you just keep building the program in the right direction. And I think that Coach Goff is even prepared for these kids to possibly enter the draft and go ahead and take their money and see what they can do with it. But one thing I really like about this class is that he's realized that he needs a little bit more depth on the mound, and I think that he's really gone out and got some good arms that'll really help this ball club next year as we go into 2017.
So we'll talk about – that's a good transition as well. You look at the regional, what was the biggest weakness in your opinion of why Tech – well, first off, in that game against Cal State Fullerton, well, the bats just couldn't get going, and that had a lot to do with how good those pitchers for Cal State Fullerton are. I'm not trying to discount that, but what was the biggest weakness of that Bulldog baseball team in Starkville?
I think if you look at Tech versus Fullerton or Mississippi State. I think that both those teams have more depth on the mound. Tech's probably six or seven guys deep that they feel really comfortable with. But a team like Fullerton, who is number one in the country in ERA, they can go 10, 12 arms. I think the highest ERA on their team was 3.82. And when that's your highest ERA, you're doing something right. And then you look at Mississippi State, their third arm, Zach Houston the other night, he was 91-94 with the slider that you weren't hitting. And so I think that that's where Tech needs to get to if they want to take it to the next level. And I think that Coach Goff has the program headed in that direction.
Was this anything before Western – was it Western Kentucky that was the turning point for you? Were you, just like every other Tech fan, were you – none of us were thinking that this team could have done this, even after Western Kentucky. I mean, I believe somebody on the Tech Drive message board on Bleed Tech Blue may have said it in late April sometime when they said, if this team could roll off some wins, they could be looking at a regional. And honestly, I was laughing inside. I'm like, this, what is this guy smoking? I need to smoke some of this. But lo and behold, he was right.
Yeah, I think I look back at the schedule around that time, mid-April, late April, and you look at, I think Tech had FIU, Old Dominion, and Middle Tennessee coming up with UTSA mixed in, and you see that part of the schedule and you know that you have to take the opportunity and run with it, and that's what Tech did. You win 5 out of 6 against UTSA and Middle Tennessee combined, and then you set yourself up in good position headed to Hattiesburg to play Southern Miss and finishing up with Rice. And I think Tech really, in my opinion, turned the corner when they swept that series at Rice, or at home against Rice, that put the team on a roll heading into the conference tournament. They had the confidence. They knew how talented they were. And I think that showed. That showed whether it was Mississippi State or Rice or Florida Atlantic, these guys believed in one another.
You look at early in the year, Goff got some criticism from visiting fans. Whenever Tech played host to ULL in Ruston and they beat them 6-2, they were the number 6 team in the country. He threw Clancy. He took a lot of heat for doing that, or not a heat. They were mad after they lost. I mean, of course they're going to be mad after they lose whenever he throws his ace, but it turned. I think you look at that one. You look at number 12 Arkansas when they beat them 3-2. They go to LSU. Clancy throws again. They lose 6-3. Who obviously that team is. And LSU is immensely better now than they were then, just like Tech is. I'd like to see those teams meet now, but obviously it's not going to happen. We even talked about that. I said I like, as far as regional matchups, Baton Rouge was the place that I wanted to see Tech. And honestly, I think that would have been a better matchup. You look at where they ended up, Starkville, the highest average RPI regional out there out of the, 17 regionals. Highest RPI, Tech comes out as the number 2 team. That speaks so highly. The other place that I said that I'd like to see them, Oxford.
And we can all see how Ole Miss went in there, 2-Q. Ole Miss fans were obviously in an uproar when they saw the Pac-12 champion Utah coming down, but I think Tech would have fared well in that Oxford.
Or even Lafayette,
even TCU. I think you look at the Starkville Regional, and it's, like you said, the highest average RPI, and that's a tough place to play, but I think that Tech really stepped up and showed how good they really were. And another thing I want to talk about is, you look at that, talk about Clancy pitching against Lafayette, Clancy pitching against Arkansas. I think a lot of that had to do with Coach Goff wanting the guys to believe that they can win any game. You know, in years past, Tech has not always placed a high priority on midweek games, but I think Goff made it be known to his players that midweek games were very, very important. And it showed when Tech was able to get an at-large bid.
You look at that set them up for that success. Whether number 12 Arkansas was really the number 12 ranked team in the country, obviously they weren't. They weren't ranked by the end of the year. They were awful in the SEC. You still went on the road. They've got that number 12 by their name, and the players act like they're the number 12 team. And in your heart, you think that they're in a number 12 team, and that means so much for your moxie, for your confidence. So going on the road, beating number 12 Arkansas, being competitive in Baton Rouge in the box against LSU was big. Going to ULL and beating number 14 then in April after that Western Kentucky series and getting a 6-3 win. You played Northwestern State in back-to-back weeks, who was a bubble team. If they aren't in the Southland, they're likely in the field of 64. That really helped Tech's RPI. The schedule really set up perfectly for Tech to make this run. When you look at they played number 14 ULL in April. They played Northwestern State in back-to-back games in May. They played number 16 Southern Miss in the second to last week of the season. They played number 16 Rice the last week of the season. The schedule gods were on their side this year and may have known that this was going to happen before the rest of us did. Not enough can be said about what happened on the field. And Ben, you really know some of these guys intimately. Talk about them as human beings, and a lot of people see that they're character guys. I had the displeasure of sitting on the first base dugout during the 15-inning Rice marathon, and to say that those guys aren't class is an understatement. Talk about the class of that team.
Yeah, I think that the Tech guys, the class...
Tech, that is, not Rice.
Yes, the Tech guys, I think the class that they show just is kind of falls down from their coach. I think these guys take on his mentality. They want to help people out. You look at guys like that have been in the program for a while, like Taylor Love, Adam Derwin, Braden Bristow, Chandler Hall, all four of those guys, they've seen it at the lowest of lows, but now they've really embraced, you know, Coach Goff coming in, his new mentality, and they've just embraced being a Tech baseball player and how much fun playing the game is. And I think that goes a long way as far as your fans can really see how hard you play. And that's one thing I like to harp on all the time is these guys were fun to play. Whether they won or lost, you never felt like the game was over. And when you have a bunch of guys that want to win as bad as these guys want to win, that means that a team's truly come together for each other. And another thing I've talked about is it was a different guy every night. So some nights it was Chase Lunsford. You get to Hattiesburg, it's Cody Daigle. You get to...
Or Brent Diaz. Brent Diaz had a great Commerce tournament.
Exactly. You just never knew who it was going to be for that Tech team. And I think that was one thing that Coach Goff did a great job with. And I know he did a lot of team building in the fall that really brought these guys together.
And then the Washam Twins had huge regionals. I mean, you're right. It was somebody different every single night. I was on the radio this evening with Sean Fox on ESPN 97.7, and I said I was driving by J.C. Love Field at the time, and I said I'm ready to be back out there watching some Bulldog baseball because they hooked me again. Before I got married, I was out there every game, whether it was Tuesday night or Sunday afternoon. No matter who they were playing, I was there. My wife might get a little upset with me, but that may be that way again next year. I don't know that I'll be able to miss a game, especially after what I witnessed in that 15-inning that marathon. If you were there for that game and didn't get hooked, you've got something wrong with you.
Exactly, and the thing that keeps me going is it's only going to get better from here. Coach Goff is building some at this program. The schedule is going to continue to get stronger. And I think that, you know, for your average baseball fan, if you have a team that's winning, you're going to keep going to games. If you have a team that's 500 and below, like, there's not really a huge incentive. But now that Tech fans have seen where this program's going, they're going to continue to show up. We're going to see more and more capacity crowds at J.C. Love Field, which down the road could force J.C. Love to possibly expand, which is something that I think all Tech fans would like to see.
Ben, I think you're inside my head because you're following my train of thought. I was going to this J.C. Love Field at Pass Patterson Park facilities next. I went down to Southern Miss for the second Rice game there on that Saturday, the 28th of May, and the 11-9 loss. And yes, their stadium is nice. Yes, the press box and the suites are nice, but Tech's not far off. They really aren't. Coach Goff on ESPN 97.7's early our morning show this week on Dietrich and White mentioned that they would like to get their Hack Shack enclosed. I think it needs to be expanded as well, but enclosed would be a step in the right direction so that they can play in hot weather, cold weather, and get some reps in. The other things that they need to do because of the news this week about the TV contracts with Conference USA going down, so the revenue is going to be down for Tech. They've got to find a way, like the Davison Athletic Complex and the suite projects that are the press box project going on in Joe I Stadium. They got to get some revenue coming in the doors. They do it in the TAC with some courtside seating. How do they leverage more dollars coming through the doors? The dugout seats, I don't even know if they're that much of a premium. They're probably not, because they're not even covered. I mean, it's in the heat of the day. You're taking your life into your own hands out there. It gets blistering hot on those dugouts. They could do something there. Now, one of the maybe the best kept secret of this season was that first base dugout, our first base line on the other side of the brick wall. If you missed the opportunity to go check a game out from that vantage point, it's surprisingly good.
Oh, down that right field line, I think it's as good a seat as is in the whole park. You're right on field level. You can hear the opposing team communicating with each other. You can even light into an umpire if you need to. I think Tech's going to take the necessary steps that they need to take. I think that they've really placed an emphasis on baseball now that the program's turned around. I think Dr. Geis is going to do a great job with that as well.
Let's flip gears into Tech football. We wouldn't be BleedTechBlue.com or BleedTechBlue Radio and not talk about football. These camps have begun. They've had one in Lake Charles, had one in Baton Rouge, had one in New Orleans, and already had some highlighted players come out of those events. Travis Etienne, Christian Trahan, and Calvin Tyler out of the Lake Charles camp were standouts. Out of Baton Rouge, Troy James, Wayne Toussaint, Xavier Bell, Hunter Smith, Tyree Golden, all those guys were standouts. We'll have more reports in detail on BleedTechBlue.com. Come check those out. And then in New Orleans, some standouts were Glenn Bell, Devin Brumfield, and Mikhail Hill. In Ruston, they'll have another camp Sunday. So they're in the middle of it. The basketball team's got a team camp this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and then an elite camp on Sunday. Have plenty of coverage on both of those sports, and those events are huge for recruiting. To get those guys on, get kids on campus, show them what you got, let them get coached by Division I coaches. The majority of the kids that come to those camps, Ben, you went to those camps, I'm sure, as a teenager. Most of the kids are not D1 players, and that's not the point. Part of the point, yes, is for for everybody, the staff to make money. That's obviously one of the points. And the ancillary staff members, like the video coordinator, the directors of football operation, those kind of guys, they get a good bit of their paycheck comes from those events. They're getting a cut from the camps. But that's only a portion of it. You get a chance to get your eyes on so many players when they come on your campus, in these satellite camps, the NCAA banned and then unbanned. So Tech now was able to go to Lake Charles to see players that may or may not have been able to afford a trip to Ruston or had the time in their schedule this summer to come to Ruston. They were able to go to Barb High School, have that camp, seek in Lake Charles is such a great place because you're very close to Houston, you're very close to Beaumont, you're very close to Orange, and those are hotbeds for football. Baton Rouge the same way. They've done such a good job in Baton Rouge in recent years, and you go out there and you have that success. At Livonia, Willie Baker coming out last year out of that, you know that he went to that camp, and they were able to build a relationship with Willie Baker. And that's just part of the seed, the sowing the seeds for him to be, for players to become Bulldogs and going to New Orleans, continuing the legacy that Jabbar Jalouk began down there. These satellite camps have been so important to Louisiana Tech, and coming to Ruston this weekend, they'll have another one in Ruston later in the summer. They were, the Tech coaches were at the satellite camp for LSU in Shreveport, so they got a chance to see some players that were attracted by the LSU name. So you get a chance to go out and see those guys. It's that time of year. We'll have plenty of coverage on football recruiting and basketball recruiting from those events coming up on BleedTechBlue.com. Jason and I will be doing Bleed Tech Blue Radio again in the fall, same time, same place, 6 to 7:30 on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm sure Ben will be jumping in there with us from time to time, even when Jason has to go chase his Rugrats around. I'm sure I'll get you to come in and fill in for him. But big things going around Louisiana Tech, and I think it came out today. Tommy McClellan may have tweeted it. What was it? The LTAC givings up 26% from last year. That is enormous, especially in this climate of Louisiana higher education with budget cuts, with the TV contract coming back as piss poor as it did, and that's just a product of Tech of Conference USA being the first G5 program's TV contract to expire since this change in cable television and less people paying for TV these days with all the cord cutters. You millennials cutting the cord and not having cable. I know you can't live without your live sports, so you're not one of those guys. But there's lots of people these days that don't have cable anymore, and they're not paying for ESPN, so ESPN doesn't have the same amount of money to distribute. But Tech is Conference USA is back with ESPN. You'll get a lot more games on ESPN3. There's some channels that honestly I never heard of that have also joined in a contract. Was it BN Network?
BN Sports, something like that. Who knows?
American Sports Network was in its first year last year, the year before, now has a 24-hour channel. I don't even think DirecTV's got it yet. And I've got the sports package, so if that's not on it, who does have it is the biggest question. BN Sports would be the same exact. If I used this analogy on the radio last year so many times. If you're on TV and nobody sees you, are you really on TV? It's kind of like the old adage of if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it really make a noise? It's kind of if it's on ESPN3, I get it because I watch the heck out of that regional on ESPN3 on my Xbox One, on my TV in my living room, and it's just like watching it on cable. So if it's on a streaming service, it's great, but ASN, you do nothing for me.
I agree. ASN's so difficult to find, especially with a 24-hour network. I mean, who's going to watch it? Who cares to watch ASN? Who cares to watch BN Sports? I wanted to say I believe that's an international channel. I think
this is not even a joke. I think it may be a subsidiary of Al Jazeera.
Yes, I believe that's it.
And that is kind of freaky.
Yeah.
Just to put
questionable.
It mildly.
Questionable.
Al Jazeera.
That's
Al Jazeera, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Ben, I really appreciate you joining me. I think I don't know if we're at an hour or not. I think we're pretty close, but good stuff. And if I'm going to talk Tech baseball, Ben Carlisle is going to be with me because I don't know baseball. I know basketball. I know football. I don't know baseball. That's what you're here for.
Well, I thank you for having me on. I look forward to coming back on in the fall. And anytime we want to talk about some baseball, I'm here.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Carlisle, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. We'll be back with some of these podcasts before the fall because it's too much fun to talk about Tech sports. Once again, we'll be back on the airwaves, ESPN 97.7, 6 to 7:30 on Tuesday nights in Ruston, Monroe. It stretches over to Mendon a little bit, up to Fordyce some days and down to Winfield. So if you're in those areas, make sure you're listening to us. And then if you want to advertise on BleedTechBlue.com, just reach out to me, jford@BleedTechBlue.com. We'll check you next time.
This has been a presentation of the Bleed Tech Blue radio podcast by BleedTechBlue.com and hosted by Jonathan Ford. Don't forget to try a 7-day free trial on BleedTechBlue.com.